There's a whole ecosystem out in your garden, your own backyard, that the animals will help us tune into.
Karen Kraft grew up and lives in central Iowa. For years, she worked as a library assistant, but then she found her true calling when she became an animal communicator.
The cat that I inherited from my sister, we would spend a lot of time out in the garden together, and she would point things out to me just by where her attention was focused. Looking back on it, I understand that she was my first real teacher. I just didn't feel like my life began until I started making the connections with animals that became my teachers. It's been a total life-changing experience, like an awakening.
You're really a bridge between animals and the humans, but in a way you're saying we really are all in the same world. You're not traveling between two different worlds.
Not really. The animals would like us to spend some time seeing through their eyes. This concept of wildness is right up there with that concept of seeing what the world looks like through their eyes.
So doing a project like the Be Wild, Rewild program would be noticed.
Yes, noticed and applauded. You mentioned something about including the animals in the conversation and the importance of that. What's coming through to me over and over again as we speak is, yes, this is what we need to convey. This is what we want you to hear. Humans are so self-absorbed in what they feel is important, but connecting with nature and connecting with the animals is crucial to our energetic existence. They want us to have that feeling.
How does animal communication happen?
The first step in getting to understand the animal's communication is being fully present, because the animals are living right here, right now, and they challenge us to be there with them.
What is the language?
It's the universal language of telepathy, heart-to-heart connection that gets translated into your own language. It's the energy of what was said.
Do animals have self-awareness? Are they aware of themselves as individuals?
I would say yes, but not the way we humans obsess on it. They are very aware of their being and their experiences and being fully present in their bodies.
Do they have individuality?
Absolutely. There's a whole range of personalities there, just as there are with people.
Do you find that communicating with wild animals is the same as communicating with domestic animals?
Amelia Kincaid, in her book, Straight from the Horse's Mouth, talks about that she encountered a squirrel. I think she said it was in a park or something when she was on her way to an errand. And the squirrel said, "Hey, lady, got any nuts?" And one of Don Heyman's stories, out in central New York, there's a lot of wildlife. And she tells a story that the husband of a friend of hers was an avid deer hunter. And he kept telling Dawn that she was just making this all up, that, oh, it's just body language. That's all you're getting. But he was out hunting. He lost his footing, fell into a shallow ravine, was lying there stunned. And he looked up, and several deer were standing around the ravine looking down at him. And what he heard was, "Do you think he's all right? What should we do? Can we help him?" And the wife told Don that he never hunted again after that. So it was a very profound experience for him. Apparently, he was so stunned that the information came through, the energy came through. What working with animal teachers has taught me is that community is everything. All life forms, not just people and animals, but plants, even stones, the river, everything, you have a consciousness.
You're really talking about interspecies communication.
Correct.
And do you see it benefiting people?
My theory is that we humans are born being able to communicate telepathically, but as we learn to read and write and speak, we abandon the telepathic part because then we don't have to feel each other's feelings. When you're connected telepathically, you feel what the other creature is experiencing. We need each other. We're all connected. And that's why the animals are so anxious to get humans to reconnect telepathically.
So animals want us to do this.
Yes.
They want us to communicate.
Yes. They want us to understand that there is no separation.
Do you see a lot of humanity as being disconnected from the natural world?
I'm finding more people who are open to it now. And people are waking up. And animals are working on that.
And why do they want that?
So that we're more conscious of what we're doing to the earth, that we're not here to dominate and manipulate, but to co-create, if we could put it that way.
Humans, in many ways, assume a position of supremacy.
Yes.
On the planet. Do you feel the animals have a feeling about that?
Well, I would call it kind of a frustration. They're trying to work around us, like the way the coyotes have moved into suburban areas. It's like they're showing us that, hey, you can't control everything, and it's better to work with us than try to exterminate us, bulldoze everything.
And do you see this as something that would be beneficial to people as well as animals?
Yeah. Reconnecting has changed my life, and I feel that it would really open new vistas for humans.
You know, when you talk, I get the message that we're all part of the same family with the animals and probably beyond.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's what the animals, especially our companion animals that have chosen to come and live with us, just want us to be more aware. Kate Celisti is an animal communicator out in Colorado. She tells a parable that in the beginning, all creatures sat at the council fire together. But humans started feeling superior to the other animals, excited about their opposable thumbs and their ability to speak and write, and they got up and left the council fire. But three animals went with man, trying to get him back to the council fire, the council of all beings. That was the dog, the cat, and the horse. And so they're still with us, working on reawakening our awareness that we are actually all one, that humans are not superior, but the animals need us to create protected spaces. You know, they're trying to recruit us to be more aware that we're all one. And so in that sense, the wild animals are aware of us because they're trying to wake us up just the way our companions that live with us in our homes are trying to wake us up. I think it's just one more way that nature is challenging us to quit blocking out the natural world. We're not in control of everything. We're not in control of anything, really. Let's pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. And wouldn't it be so much better if we were all in it together? We really are all in this together. Thank you, Ursula, for giving me the chance to speak for the animals. They offered me the talking stick, and they wouldn't let me take it until I pledged that I would be willing to speak in public anytime I was given the chance to speak for them.